got the overhead. Were you able to get the PowerPoint for the sermon? Okay. Psalm 20 and then Exodus chapter 17. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, excitement's in the air. Pastor, is it okay if I announce that we're going over to Wilson First on the 18th? Okay, we still on go with that? We were just going to, on the Wednesday night, October the 18th, while you're finding the scripture, Psalm 20, and then Exodus chapter 17. I was asked to preach a revival service at the First Pentecostal Holiness Church in Wilson. They're having Wednesday, every Wednesday night in October, they're having a revival service. They're not doing Sunday through Wednesday. They're doing something out of the box. And I have no idea that I was one of the speakers. One of their music director called and said, could you bring some of your singers over? And I said, the pastor hasn't asked me. And then I saw one of their members. Brother Ricky, we're looking forward to seeing you. And I'm like, your pastor hasn't asked me. And I know the pastor has my number. I thought he did. And so I saw the pastor and I said, Pastor, am I supposed to come? He said, oh, yes, blah, 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 blah. So before I could even clear it with my pastor, amen. And thank you, Brother Jerry. But I think that's a great thing for us to just, hey, it's not going to hurt us one night to go fellowship on a revival service. And certainly in the future, that could be something all churches do. Amen. So that'll be a couple Wednesday nights from now. We'll let you know Wednesday, October the 18th. And by the way, when I preach over there, I don't mean this in the wrong way. Oh, God, please. The Lord knows my heart. But I know if I bring the Westmoreland folks, I'll have some amen corner. Amen. Praise God. And I know there's some good shouting folks at Wilson First. I know some good people over there. But to have the home team with me, it will just be a whole lot better preaching. Everybody say amen to that. Psalm 20 tonight. We're talking about Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. I love that slide. Jehovah Nisi, this is the name of God, the compound names of God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is here. I know these names are not Western names, but these are powerful names. These are eternal names. And so tonight, Jehovah Nisi, say that, Jehovah Nisi. Nisi, the Lord, my banner. So Psalm chapter 20 and verse 5. Psalm 20 and verse 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Amen. Now I want you to go to Exodus chapter 17. And here's where we find, we started in Genesis. We're working our way through. The next time that we find Jehovah mentioned is tonight, Jehovah Nisi. And this is a little bit extra scripture that I normally read, but I want us to get the story. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. I want you to say the word Amalek. I want you to say the word Rephidim. Verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek. That's a Hebrew way of saying he gave him a whipping. All right, so we just translate that into Southern, okay? Joshua whipped up on them, and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial. Don't forget this in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And here we go, verse 15. I just want to look at the screen here. Verse 15. Read it with me. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Now, Father, tonight, thank you for being our banner. Thank you, Lord, for being our victory tonight. Thank you that you are the God that reveals yourself. And I pray, God, those listening tonight and those listening by Facebook or live stream, God, that they will feel the anointing that we feel in this house. You are our banner, and we bless you tonight for what you're going to do, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. Amen. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see them, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. Amen. Tonight we're in a battle. Aren't we? I tell you, we are. Battles externally, internally. And in tonight's message, in the Jehovah name, we're going to see that God is with us in the battle. He is the Lord my banner. I thought about in preparing this message tonight just to put up emblems and symbols. You know, the symbol of Apple, the MacBook, the symbols of flags, car symbols. If you'll notice on a Lincoln, the symbol for Lincoln has a cross in it. Y'all get that later. Amen. But amen. Amen. My sister, she's 10 years younger than me. She's a millennial. Y'all pray for her. Amen. No, we love millennials. I love them. I do. I do. I wish we had a church full of them. Amen. And I'll be honest with you. She said, Ricky, I don't want you driving that car. It's for old people. So anyway, I said, well, I'm getting older. When I was coming up, Lincoln Town Cars was really, really something for bishops and all of that, but now I guess they drive the other cars now. But symbols, banners, you know, when you drive by a roadside, you see a banner. You know, when we think of the word banner, we think of something that's promoted, something that's, you don't have to guess about it. It's aggravating to drive by and there's a banner out there and it's all messed up and the sign is, you know, and I know right now in Rocky Mount on that Red Oak exit at I-95, there's a sign up there. It says gas is like $1.22 a gallon. But the problem is the gas station's closed. So you got to make sure that the banner and the symbols are correct. Can I get a witness out here? You know, Dalton's here tonight. Dalton's here tonight. And he has that shield. That's a sort of a banner. I know we think in America a banner is a big thing. But in the Hebrews, any kind of symbol, anything that denoted a sign or anything that said identification was listed as a banner. And so here we have in the battle that God is saying, I am your banner. Hallelujah. He didn't say, I'm your bullet. He said, I'm your banner. You know, you got to understand something, that when God is your banner, you don't even need a bullet. All you need is a rock and a sling. Amen. All you need is the name of the Lord. All you need is the sword of the Lord, which Joshua says fought Amalek with the sword. And we have the sword, which is called the word of God. Can I get an amen? So I want to tell you tonight where we are in this passage, because when we read this passage tonight, let's go back. I watched a movie the other night called Exodus, Gods and Kings, and it's loosely based on the life of Moses and not strict to the scripture. But I'll tell you, I just loved that movie. It was amazing to see in high definition, you know, those plagues coming on and how that God was fighting. So let me go back here very quickly. The children of Israel were in slavery to Egypt. And everybody said, amen. And God raised up Moses. And Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh didn't comply. And we had the 10 plagues. And finally, we had the last plague, which was the death of Pharaoh's son and all of the firstborn. Only those who had the blood applied to their home was the children saved or redeemed. And so then they were expelled. Then they came to the Red Sea, And that's one part I didn't like about the movie, because in the movie they're actually kind of walking through water, and that's not right. It was on dry ground. The water completely parted, and I thought, boy, they lost a real Hollywood real. They just cannot grasp the miraculous, can they? And they just can't go that far. They did it okay, but they didn't do it the way it really was, because that water stood up and they went through on dry ground. And when Pharaoh came back behind them, that water came back down. They got on the other side. They were saved. They were delivered. Can you say amen? And they began to sing and shout. And that represents salvation. Somebody say, I'm saved. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood. You know, I should have died that night. I should be in hell today. But God sent His Son and died, and I put the blood upon my heart. And the death angel passes over me as far as sin is concerned. And now I may die physically, but I'm on my way to glory. Can you say amen? So they come out of Egypt. They come out of the Red Sea. Then they come to a place called Rephidim. Remember I told you to say that? Somebody say Rephidim. This is a dry place. There's no water there. And so they begin to panic. And to make a long story short, they begin to doubt. They begin to fear. They even begin to complain. Moses, you brought us through the Red Sea. And there's no water to drink. What's wrong with you? Why did you do this? They got angry with Moses. In fact, they forgot what God had just done for them. And so, isn't that the way it is with us? After God brings us through some things, after God brings us through the trials and the mistakes, don't we tend to forget what the Lord has done for us? And we forget fairly quickly. Can I get an amen tonight? And so here's how it was resolved. There was a huge stone, and God told Moses to stand before the rock, take a rod. Okay, let me use this right here. Now this is not near like it was, but he said, take that rock and smite the rock. And when Moses smote the rock in front of everybody's eyes, water gushed out. And they had water to drink. And that tells me a couple of things right there, that out of hard places, God can bring living waters. Out of hard, rocky, solid, unmovable. Listen, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Just when you think you're about to die of thirst and the bills are piling up, and just think when nothing is turning right. Let me tell you, even out of the rock, in one moment, God can allow a breakthrough of water. And the water represents the Holy Spirit. And we ought to just praise Him tonight, because out of hard things, God can show up. Is it just me, or all of us been through some hard times every now and then? And the Bible says that Moses, he smote the rock. And see, that was a symbol of Jesus, who was smitten for us. And Jesus Himself is the rock of our salvation. Amen. So when you're reading the Bible, there's just so much beautiful things in there. It all talks about Jesus. And so there they are, and they got the water that met their need. And God can do great things in hard places. And you may be in a hard place in your marriage. You may be in a hard place in your finances. But in a hard place, God can work and move and bring victory. But right after this victory, right after this water flows, and man, I can just see them swimming in that water. I can just see them gulping that water. I can just see them saying, oh, thank you, God. You brought us from slavery. You took us through the Red Sea. Now you've given us water. Well, guess what happens then? Go to Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. Say, I got to lay the foundation. I got to get you to where the banner is. Exodus chapter 17. Immediately after the water flows and they get their thirst quenched, wouldn't you just love it for everything just to... Sometimes when I leave Westmoreland Church on Sundays, sometimes I'm like, can we just stay here? Come on. Have I got to go there tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock? Come on. Have I got to face this next week at 3 o'clock? I mean, it's like as soon as we drive out of the parking lot on Sundays at Westmoreland, it's like, here's what happens. Then came Amalek. Say that with me. Then came Amalek. Then came Amalek. Right after a victory, right after a breakthrough, right after a great service, right after you say, I'm going to tithe, fully tithe, and you drop that tithe check in the envelope, just that next week, the engine light cuts on. Y'all with me? That's what we're talking about, Sister Teresa. I like that you put that in the right place, because that's the whole purpose of Wednesday night. We're trying to tell you life is real. Things are hard at times, and the engine light does come on. Hallelujah. But God is on the throne. He's up to something. And don't lose your faith on the brink of a miracle. When the devil shows up and the battle is hard, just remember he is Jehovah Nissi, and his banner over us is love. And brother, we're not fighting to get something. We've already got it. And we just may have to struggle a little bit, but it's ultimately we're going to win. Can you get an amen? Because you just don't know. When the engine light comes on, you might wind up telling somebody, and they might wind up giving you a new car. So don't think just because something goes bad, it's not something going bad. It's just another opportunity for God to show himself God. I feel a preach coming on. I feel a preach coming on. About to have a spell up here tonight. Amen. But let me tell you, the minute you get a victory, let me just tell you, I've seen people, they get saved in the church, and as soon as they get saved, everything goes wrong. They get fired for some reason. I remember a couple that was here at Living Waters, when this was Living Waters, and I was pastoring here, and a young couple got saved, and his ex-wife had a previous marriage, and they had shared a child, and she was okay. But when he got saved, it was so hard to get him saved. It's like she started calling and leaving him terrible messages. And it was like she was, you know what it is? It's then came Amalek. Amen. That's what's going to happen. Please understand, where did we get this idea that when we become a Christian, everything is just going to be okay? It is okay, but at the same time, there are tests and there are trials. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened. Here's what I've always envisioned as a pastor. In my office, many times people will sit down in their chair, and Brother Ricky, what a strange thing that my car light engine light cut on. What a strange thing that I got this diagnosis. What a strange thing that my former wife is called and left these terrible messages, threatened to throw me in jail when I've done everything. What a strange thing. You know what I'm really looking forward to one day? This is what I'm really thinking. I'm in my office, and somebody comes in and makes an appointment, and sits down in my chair, and says, Pastor, yes, strangest thing happened. Yes. The last 3 months, I hadn't had one issue, one problem. Nothing is going wrong. Are y'all with me? We ought to think it's strange when nothing goes wrong. Did y'all catch that? The Bible says, think it's strange. Do not think. Let's go back to that scripture. If you don't mind when I call out the scriptures, just leave them up until I go to the next one, because I ain't finished plowing there yet. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange. In other words, do not think it strange when the engine light comes on and you've paid your tithes. Do not think it. Because it is a test. God is allowing the test. It's going to grow you. It's going to be for your good. Can I get a witness out there? Here's when you need to think it strange, when everything seems to be going right. Nothing is going wrong. That's probably when you think. Because I have found out that if you're not in collision with the devil, then it means you're probably in collusion with the devil. I found this out. If I'm not facing the devil head on and having to fight for my family, fight for my faith, fight in the Lord and his strength, but still I have to do my part. I found out if I'm not fighting the devil, I may need to check to see if I'm not walking with him. Because some of these people out here in the world, their angel eyes never cut. Have you ever wondered why people, billionaires who curse the name of Jesus, their business grows? And some of these Hollywood, some of these football players that cannot kneel down to pray, but they'll kneel down at the national anthem. I want to know, Lord, now wait a minute. I know they hadn't paid a dollar in tithe. I know now some of them are good people. I'm not saying that. And I'm not trying to be political. And I'm never going to be political. But I am a prophet of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, it is strange when I see Al-Qaeda and different ones seem to prosper. But let me tell you, they might be prospering for a moment, but in the end, brother, we're on the winning side. We are victorious. The banner is still high, and we're going to win. Can you say amen? Let me give you two things about banners. And by the way, they're fighting Amalek. I had to cut this out because of time. We got another hour. Let's see. So, some of y'all's engine light just came on and got to leave, right? Amen. But Amalek, who is Amalek? Amalek was a group of people, like the Lumbee Indians or something, a group of people, the Amalekites. Amalekites. You can do your study on who in the world were the Amalekites. This is 15 minutes worth of explanation, but bottom line was the Amalekites was their cousins. That'll preach. Has anybody else had trouble with your crazy cousins over there on the other side of the river? I mean, come on. You don't have to admit it. Amen. But the Amalekites was, and seriously, sometimes we have problems even in our own family. I remember one time I went home to where I was raised, and my cousins and some of my aunts and uncles, we all kind of live out there together. And I'm going to tell you what, it was not fun. They're family problems. Let me bring it closer home. And I'm going to just tell you right now, the greatest area of battle is going to be in the family. Then came Amalek. Problems in the family. That's why do everything as a husband. Those of you men out here, do everything you can to be the man of God to your wife. You're not going to be perfect. But we need to. I get so tired. I'm really digressing. But I get so tired of people running down marriage. Now, can I tell you something? Is marriage... People say, well, there's so many divorces and so this, that, and the other. But let me tell you something. Marriage under the Lord can work. And not only can it work, it is the most exciting relationship, the most wonderful, the most fruitful relationship. And, you know, you get a young boy 20 years old, a young girl 20 years old. They both are so handsome and gorgeous and good looking. And then they have three or four kids and go through the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And you take a picture of them and they've been married for 50 years. And we celebrate that. And then the wife begins to get sick. And her husband has to help her to the restroom. I know a man, there's another man I pastored here at Living Waters. His name is Ray Meeks. His wife Judy was on the board here, and then he was on the board later. But right now, she has Alzheimer's, and he has to take her to the restroom. He has to do everything. Let me tell you something. Put that against Tom Cruise and some of these others. Elizabeth Taylor, who some of you millennials never heard of, Google her, but be careful what you see. But Google her. She went through like five or six marriages. Let me tell you something. Marriage works. Glory to God. It is wonderful. And if you've been through a divorce, that's okay. God will forgive. And just whoever you're married with tonight, just love your wife. Do things. Go on. Husbands and wives, the church needs to empower married couples because everybody else is doing every other thing when it comes to marriage. But Amalek, the battle is going to be in the family, with spouses, with children, relationships, broken relationships. But God has a plan for you, and God has an awesome way of working these family problems out. I don't know what, maybe somebody come in here tonight and you're having some issues in your marriage. Don't just leave. Don't just believe what Oprah Winfrey says. My goodness. Now, I'm telling you, Dr. Phil, they may be okay, but why don't we go back to Dr. Jesus? He's got an answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm a married man as of tonight. I can't bank on, I got to do right. Amen. Praise God. But I want to do right. I want to. Before I leave this point, let me explain it to you this way. I used to think if I never got married, when I was a teenager, I was really on fire for the Lord. And I used to pray for hours and things like that. And I would go to revivals and different things. And the thought crossed my mind, if I didn't get married, how much time I could spend in prayer, and I wouldn't have a wife and children and da-da-da-da-da, and I'd have all this time to myself, and I just envisioned myself just, man, how holy could I be if I just lived by myself? But I had a desire. I had a desire to be married. I had a desire to have children. I had a desire to have companionship. So I got married. And let me tell you, there's been times in my marriage where I felt backslid, because I'd get so mad with her, and I'd slam the door, and I'd be reading my Bible, and she'd come up and say something, and I would slam the Bible. I'm telling you, and the devil would jump all over me, and then I begin to realize my attitude's not right, and I need to forgive her. And I need to take responsibility. So I'd go to my knees and I said, Lord, please forgive me. I have preached, I have prayed, but I just blasted my wife out and I feel so wrong. And the Lord would just tell me, son, forgive her, and you go back and love her. And let me tell you something, it's that has made me more holy. It is me getting on my saying, there used to be a show when I was a kid. Am I okay to stand down here, Pastor? Is this all right? Or do I need to go back up? Okay. But there was a show, we're doing this for live stream. There was a show when I was growing up called Happy Days. You remember that? With the Fonz. Y'all remember that? Some of you millennials, please go on Netflix or whatever and watch an episode of the Happy Days. The Fonz was like the cool guy. Hey, he was a biker. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all look at me like y'all know what I'm talking about. But there was one word the Fonz could never say. Do y'all remember that? What was that word he could never say? Huh? No. He couldn't say the word, I'm sorry. Remember that? If he'd do something wrong, he just could not say, he'd do it on the TV show. I'm sorry. Guys and gals, too, every now and then you just need to say, look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Let's pray about this. And that is what will make you holy. Not living by yourself somewhere on a mountain. No, it is when you forgive. It's when you fight the battle and say, I will not let my marriage fail. We will not have a divorce, that even though it's the easy way out. We will find God. And I wish somebody would say a good amen tonight. Because Amalek is coming, and it's a family issue sometimes. And there they are in the battle. And here Moses goes up into the mountain with Aaron and Hur. Somebody say Aaron and Hur. Aaron was from the priest. He was a priest. He was called of God. Hur was a carpenter. And that's the way it works. To get the church going, we need pastoral people who are called of God to operate in the offices of pastor. But we've got to have those carpenters. We've got to have those lay people. We've got to have those out there you got to have both to see something done. And it's not just the preacher in the pulpit. It is all of us working together, lifting up what the Lord wants lifted up. Amen. Somebody say amen. And here they are fighting the battle. And I'm I'm coming to a close here. I see the kids walking back in. This is your 10-minute warning. They're in the valley. They're fighting. And we are in the valleys fighting. And a soldier is getting tired. And we get tired. Is this battle really going to be worth it? Are we really going to make it? And all of a sudden, he looks up into the mountain, and there is Moses with his hands lifted up. When he sees that hand lifted up, and he sees the rod, somebody say the rod. He turns around, and he gives another punch to the Amalekite. Not really a punch. He gives them a sword and kills them. Let me tell you about the banner. Two things. A banner will inspire. Number one, point one, banners inspire. When you see the flag waving, doesn't that inspire you? How in the world anybody would take a knee? Now, if you've got a protest or if you've got an issue, there are 150 million ways to log a protest and to say, I stand up for a cause. No problem with that. But you mean to tell me when the flag is flying, when there's a country like Russia that kills people and South America, that you can't go out and do the things that you want to do? And there's countries in this world where you have no freedom and you're going to take a knee? I'm sorry, you may take a knee, but I'm going to cut the TV on to something else. Can I get a witness out there? I said it. Hallelujah, somebody. Banners inspire. When you see that flag waving, you're fighting, and all of a sudden you look up and you see that banner. Oh, praise God. It inspires you to fight. That banner is waving. That rod is in the air, and it's there that the Bible says, He is the Lord, my banner. As long as that banner's waving, then I can keep on fighting, because I know eventually we're going to whip that enemy and we're going to be victorious. Thank God that He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Why? Because the banner is waving and the Moses is up there standing up, holding up the rod. A banner inspires. The Lord is our banner. He inspires us. I'm getting ahead of myself. But in 1812, so I'm going to teach these young people. I'm glad y'all came in right at the right time. So in, and I'm sorry, 1814. So you might not understand this, but the British invaded America in the year called 1812. Brother Elam, do you remember what all that was about? I'm just picking with you, brother. Brother Elam said he was there in the mind of God. Amen. Praise God. He had to step out. Amen. 1812, the British invaded America, almost destroyed us. They burnt down the White House. Washington, D.C. was almost in rubble. The president, first lady, had to evacuate the White House. Can you imagine if the British came over and Donald Trump and his wife had to evacuate Washington? That's big time stuff. And so they were out in the harbor, and the British were fighting against us, and we were fighting back. And there was a fellow by the name of Francis Scott Key. He could see those bombs bursting, and this is so good. Glory to God. He could see the, but in the background, Brother Philip, what was waving? The old glory. Somebody say old glory. Somebody say it again. Old glory. I'm not just talking about the American flag. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus. I'm talking about the hand of the rod of God. Listen, and here you go. Francis Scott Key, he wrote the words to that song. The bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Praise God. The bombs may be bursting in your life. And it may look like that the enemy has burnt down the White House. And I'm not talking about the White House. Literally, I'm talking about your house. I'm talking about what you go through. It may look like that all is lost. But don't you lose sight of that old glory, that banner. Because come the next morning, old glory was still waving and America is still standing. The land of the brave and the home of the free. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm inspired. Oh, I'm inspired. Oh, say, can you see? I'm too high. By the dawn's early light. What's it? You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Listen, banners inspire. In fact, the Civil War troop, they always had a guy that held the flag. And it was always a young guy that would march in front of the troop and he'd hold the flag. Well, this guy got so excited, he was marching way too fast and got way ahead of the troop. And so one in the regiment said, Commander, the flag bearer has gotten out too far. Should we call the flag back to the troops? The commander said, no, we're not calling the flag back to the troop. We're going to call the troop up to the flag. We got a battle to fight. Hallelujah. Let's get to the flag. Let's get to the altar. Let's go in for God all the way. Let's get into the Word. Let's find the cause. Give me 5 more minutes. Raise your hand if you give me 5 minutes. Amen. Not only do banners inspire, but banners identify. Because when you wave a banner, you're saying, I'm part of this cause. I'm all in. This is my team. This is my army. So banners identify. And so, how many of you are on the Lord's side? You are fighting for Jesus. You're standing up for the Lord and for the cause of the Lord. Not some political party, not some person, but we're standing up and identifying with Jesus Christ. Amen. But not only do you identify, but banners identify you. Can I get a witness out there? Song of Solomon chapter 2, and I'm closing. Song of Solomon chapter 2 says, he brought me to the banqueting house. Just give me a thumbs up when you got it, brother. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his what? Banner. Over me was love. Now, going back to Amalek, I told you Amalek was family. Another term for family is what? Flesh and blood. But really, the greatest battle I fight is with my own flesh. Am I the only one that battles with your flesh? We all battle with our flesh. There are times when I'm working at Best Buy that I just want to say some things. You know what I'm doing? I'm battling the flesh. Now don't look at me like y'all ain't never been there. Preachers are preachers. No matter, I'm a preacher at Best Buy. I'm a preacher at Westmoreland. I'm a Christian at Best Buy. I'm a Christian at Westmoreland. Amen. And we battle the flesh. Amen. We do. But let me tell you what. God said, my banner over you is love. Even though you're fighting the flesh, and some of you think you have failed, and some of you think, well, I've got bad thoughts that go through my mind. Let me tell you something. His banner over you is love. He is your banner. Those people down there fighting against Amalekite, do you think they were perfect? No, sir. They were doubting. They were grumbling. They were complaining. At times they lost their faith. At times they lost their way. But God said, no, you're my people. And my banner over you is love. And I want you to know that, look at Song of Solomon. I got to hurry. Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 10 says, who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and as terrible or as awesome as an army with banners? So what is that? What is that? Banners inspire. Say amen. Banners inspire. Say banners inspire. Banners inspire. Banners identify. Banners identify. And he has put his banner over me in love. He loves me even though I struggle. But let me tell you that the church is under his banner. Who is she? Brother, if you go back to that scripture, remember what I said. Amen. Song of Solomon chapter 6. I ain't quite finished there. Who is she that appears like the dawn, as beautiful as the moon, bright as the sun? Who is she that's awesome like an army with banners? You know what this scripture is talking about? Does anybody know what this scripture is talking about? Brother Philip, this scripture is talking about the church. The church. And you know who the church is? Turn around and tell somebody, you the church. Don't say church, say church. You're the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Westmoreland, fly that banner. Come trunk or treat, fly that banner. We'll let cars drive by and say, hey, something going on here. And we're gonna use candy and fun and hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever, just hot dogs, whatever we do. We're going to fly a banner with that Royal Ranger Fort. Amen. We're going to take that brochure that we're a new brochure, an updated brochure. We just fly. We're an awesome church with banners. We got a gospel to preach. We're touching the nations of the earth. You're not part of something insignificant. This is an amazing, awesome church. You don't have to be a Joel Osteen of 10, 15,000 people. Nothing wrong with that. But right here in Wilson, let's do what we can do. Let's touch somebody. If you can't touch 50, touch 10. Wave that banner. Tell the devil we're on the winning side. We're not going to let them have not one of these young people. Amen, somebody. Those young people see these football players taking a knee for the wrong reasons. They ought to see us taking a knee for the right reasons. Amen. We're an army with banners. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, thank the Lord that He is Jehovah Nissi. The greatest banner of all is simply this. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. When you are going through battles. And what an awesome crowd here tonight, Pastor, for Wednesday night. Give yourselves a big hand. We got a great attendance tonight. Amen. This is an awesome church with banners. The greatest banner is not Moses' rod. The greatest banner is not the American flag, Old Glory. The greatest banner to the Lord, to the Christian, is the cross of Jesus Christ. When you're having a tough day on the job, when I'm at Best Buy and I'm being tempted, I'll just take a moment and I'll think about Jesus and Him dying on that cross and realizing no matter how bad my day is, He went through an even worse day so that I could have a good day, even on a bad day. Well, somebody say glory. Hallelujah. That's what I'm doing. I'm in the battle. I'm in the valley, but I'm looking to that mountain of Calvary, and there Jesus is dead, dying, and He's paying the price for my sin. And then there's another banner called the empty tomb. Thank God He didn't stay on the cross. He is Lord forever and forever and forever. This is a true story. Brother, Pastor, if you'll just come right on up. This is a true story. But one night, a man on the New England coast, they came up a storm. And they couldn't reach him. He was an older man. And they were trying to yell out to him, but they couldn't reach him. They couldn't even see him. And so one of the men of the rescue troop, they just could not reach him. The storm was too bad. Just waved waved his hat. They said to the old man, said, how could you? Oh, praise God, I got a piano player tonight. Amen. Sister Connie, so good to see you. Do you know the old rugged cross? Just do that. Do you? If you don't, that's fine. Oh, she knows it. Amen. Oh, thank God. But this old man.
What key?
It doesn't matter. Whatever key is fine. I sing off key anyway. But that man said, they rescued him. And they talked to him and they said, how did you make it? We couldn't get to you. You were in that water. We were on there. The storm was raging. And he told them as he was drinking coffee, he said, guys, I'm going to tell you, I thought it was over with. He said, I felt myself slipping. I was worn out. I was ready to give up. But just as I was ready to give up, I looked up and I saw a hat. And he said, and this is what he said. He said, I looked through the darkness and saw somebody's hat going up in the air. He said, and I said to myself, if there's somebody who cares enough about old John to stay out on a night like this, then I don't think I'll quit just yet. And he said, then I got a fresh hold of myself. And I made it through the night. In the storm, He cares for you. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. Let's go ahead. Oh, thank God for it tonight. Lift your hands and let's sing it tonight. For the banner of the cross, so I cherish. Everybody.
Oh, so I cherish the old
through the storm,
cross,
through the night.
Oh, till my trophies at last I lay down.
I will cling,
oh, I will cling to the old rugged.
I know it's a battle. Sometimes in our homes, sometimes in our jobs, sometimes in our bodies. But He's Jehovah Nissi. His banner over us is love. You may have failed, but He loves you tonight.
Oh,
so
I'll cherish the old rugged cross.
Oh, we thank you for that banner, Lord.
Till my trophies at last I lay down.
I will cling, yes I will.
Oh, I will cling to the old rugged.
That's the banner. There's the banner.
And exchange it someday.
I'd like for you to bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are struggling tonight. Maybe financial battles. Maybe emotional battles. Maybe some say, well, I'm just going to quit the church. I'm going to quit reading my Bible. It's not worth it. But oh God, let them see that banner. Let them know that God, you are going to see them through every battle. Maybe you've been hurt in your family. Maybe you've been through a divorce. No matter what you're facing tonight. Maybe you are a teenager and your mother and father. Maybe you don't feel love from them. But I'll tell you, He loves you. Somebody just lift your hands and just thank Him for the banner. Thank Him that He's going to see you through the battle. He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's going to open a door that no man can shut. If the engine light's on the car, you trust Him because He just may have something in mind that will blow your mind. Oh God, we thank You, Lord, for Your promises. We wave the banner. Can we just wave our banners back to the Lord? Wave those hands and say, God, I just wave the victory banner tonight. I wave the palm branches of glory to You. You're worthy of the praise. You're going to see me through the night, though the bombs are bursting in the air. Oh, thank You that, oh, glory is still standing up.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross.
I'd like for you to step out of your seat and join me at the front for closing prayer. Come on, everyone. Young people, mothers, fathers, just come right on down here tonight. Amen. Oh, His banner over us is love.
I will cling
to the old rugged. Come on down and let's close in prayer tonight. Amen.
Oh, and exchange it someday for a crown.
One more time. So I'll cherish
the old banner.
The banner. Somebody cares. We care. God cares for you.
I will cling to the old rugged cross.
And exchange
it someday for a crown.
I will cling. Sing it one more time.
For I cherish the old rugged.
We love You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You for the cross, Lord.
Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. And exchange it someday for a crown.
blessed hope
to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
Sing it, church. Glory. Side by side, the American flag and the cross of the Lord. For our cherished,
the old rugged cross.
This banner over us is love.
Until my trophies at last I lay down. Oh, I will cling. Exchange it someday.